flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton bedding from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and breathable sheets. You'll experience pure comfort on night one and feel your bedding get softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Okay, business leaders, are you playing defense or are you on the offense? Are you just, excuse me, hey, I'm trying to talk business here. As I was saying, are you here just to play or are you playing to win? If you're in it to win, meet your next MVP, NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is your full business management system in one suite. With NetSuite, you're running your accounting, your financials, HR, e-commerce, and more, all from your online dashboard. One source of truth means every department's working from the same numbers with no data delays. And with AI embedded throughout, you're automating manual tasks, plus getting fast insights for your next move. Whether you're competing on your home turf or looking to conquer international markets, NetSuite helps you get the W. Over 40,000 businesses have already made the move to NetSuite, the number one cloud ERP.
Right now, get the CFO's Guide to AI and Machine Learning at netsuite.com/special. Get this free guide at netsuite.com/special.
Okay, guys.
Yes, indeed. It turns out Lonzo is a winner, does know how to win. He's done it. How many times? How many trophies for you? Just the Lonzo trophies. 60?
I've lost count. I don't like to brag about that because you start bragging and then something happens and you don't even get nominated the following year. I've learned my lesson, but I've won just about every year I've entered except for one. So
we have won three. South Carolina Sports Talk, South Carolina Broadcasters Association Sports Talk Radio Show of the Year Awards. Lonzo has run 317 different trophies
still,
betwixt
the big
shows.
Surprise, and I know you don't want to talk about it because we didn't win. We ended up with second place. Still, second place for morning show of the year. I still think that's a big deal. And I know you only care about championships. You say it's me, but you only care about championships. So you kind of ignore that one. But I thought that was kind of cool.
It is cool in that I believe...
I really wanted that one for personal reasons.
Yeah.
And the fact that it got up to two, that's pretty exciting. That was it's the first morning show that I've been on where I actually was in contention.
It was cool in that I believe we were the first morning show on this station to be nominated for that award, to be a finalist, not just nominated, to be a finalist for that award.
We're the first morning show on this station. So, I mean, I know.
Technically correct is the best kind of correct, man.
Is it?
Yeah. Technically correct is the best kind of correct. Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen. The Rob Brown Show is on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo, and you. I'm going to get it out of the way now so that I hopefully don't ruin it later. Morgan Freeman is trending. He's not dead yet. Is he like, he's the classic Morgan Freeman's dead guy, right? Like every time there's a fake dead celebrity on social media.
Why would you take that from us? Because we could have expounded upon about Morgan Freeman for like 2 or 3 minutes. I get that you're doing it now. And I haven't checked why he's trending, but I'm going to guess political.
I mean, probably. I don't envy you having to pull together what the X is going on for probably the next, I don't know, at least couple years. I don't envy you having to go find things that are trending on X when, you know, when the world is the way the world is. Because everything's a political conversation now. And it's not going to be fun. But Morgan Freeman, like the joke for a long time is that like at least a couple of times a year, Morgan Freeman pops up out of nowhere in a Morgan Freeman's dead tweet that takes off for no reason when he is, to my understanding, although that could be different today.
No, he's alive.
Not.
He's alive. It's political.
Okay.
That's what I assumed it was when it's trending just in the United States and not in the world. Yeah.
Okay. Just making sure.
He said he's a fan of Elon Musk.
Okay.
And apparently that's a bad thing.
Okay. Elon's in a little hot water right now.
Hollywood actor Morgan Freeman thinks a second Trump presidency would be good for the country. So it's all political.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Everything is.
So now we can brush it aside and move on.
Football, I guess, and stuff. No, we do have a lot of football to get to today. Let you know a couple of things coming up today on the show. 8 o'clock, the lovely Lulu Kesson from the Greenville News is going to swing by. We'll talk South Carolina athletics with her. We'll check in on the football team as the offseason. We're kind of entering like an interesting little spot here because we are in now one of the few legitimate quiet/dead periods before we get to, you know, the second transfer window's coming down the pipe. We are, less than a month away from National Signing Day? If that even matters anymore. I don't even know if National Signing Day matters anymore. There are some potential changes, and we'll get into this later on in the show. There are some potential changes that could come as a result of a few things. The House settlement that we're all waiting to find out what the end result is going to be. This lawsuit that we are likely moving forward to in the case of Xavier Lucas, the defensive back that left Wisconsin and went to Miami but never actually entered the transfer portal. But said he requested Wisconsin put him in, and Wisconsin didn't do it. Wisconsin said, yeah, we didn't do it, because he had an active contract for NIL money, and you don't just get to leave that. You sign it, you stay. And I, as I've said a couple of times, I suspect that is going to end up in some sort of mediation in front of a national labor relations board, and then possibly in front of a court. To find out if players sign NIL deals with collectives, how strong are those contracts? How binding are those contracts? Are those contracts going to be enforceable just like any other employment contract? Are they going to be found to be? Because, and I did have this question and asked somebody about it yesterday after we talked about it on the show. And one of the things I got told was the Xavier Lucas camp will probably make the argument that NIL contracts, while contracts, are conditional contracts. That is to say, conditions must be met for the contract to remain valid. And Xavier Lucas's camp will probably make an argument. It may not be this exact argument, but will probably make an argument that is somehow connected to the condition of the contract is elected enrollment at the University of Wisconsin, and Xavier Lucas, like any other college student, has the right to terminate his enrollment at the University of Wisconsin whenever he wishes. And the enrollment is the condition of the conditional contract. We don't know how that's going to play out. Nobody has any idea. It is nothing more right now than speculation at this point in time. Now, that's kind of what we do around her. We kind of speculate. We speculate. Every dork with a microphone in the world of sports talk landia, we all speculate. It is the job, quite literally. But I speculate that whatever happens in that could go a long way in finding out what comes next. There's also the discussion that the NCAA may at some point in the future do away with National Letters of Intent, NLI. My dyslexia kicked in there for just a second. May do away not with NIL, but may do away with NLI. I, National Letters of Intent. National Letters of Intent may be going away. And of course, National Letters of Intent are what these players are actually signing on National Signing Day. They are not signing their scholarship that day. They are signing a letter of intent to go play a school or for a school.
And the fax machine people are like, listen, this is the only thing been keeping us afloat, keeping us alive. And now you're gonna eliminate this and then we're done.
You're not totally wrong. So a number of years ago, great one, I was working down in Destin, Florida. This was back in the late 2000s, early 2010s. We used to throw every year on my old station National Signing Day parties. Now, I will say, and you tell me if this has been your experience here as well, the public interest in National Signing Day has waned over the years. Did it used to be like a big thing here?
It did used to be a big thing, especially on this station. Certain hosts would really, really get into it.
Yeah.
And that was back at the beginning of the station. But it slowly went away as the progression of college football and what it is today happened.
I think it dropped off before the portal NIL days. I think that killed it, right? I do think portal NIL killed it. But I think the interest had started. And I'll tell you what it is. And I don't know if this is fair or not. It's just my own opinion.
I do remember having the TV on, watching it, and watching online for the next thing to break so we could announce the next kid had signed somewhere. And then it just went away.
Yeah. It used to be a thing. And again, I think NIL and portal probably sunk the dagger into it, but I think it had started to die off. And again, I don't know if this is fair or not. I really think it started to die off. And again, speculation. I may be totally off base here. I think it started to die off when the National Signing Day events stopped being a kid walking in, wearing the gear of the school he's going to and signing his National Letter of Intent, and turned into the big spectacles we've been doing, right? Like, the only people who put gender reveal parties to shame are National Letter of Intent, National Signing Day parties. When these kids would walk in and they'd tease the fan base for like a week before National Signing Day, and then they'd walk into their high school gymnasium and they're wearing a big jacket. You don't know what's under it. They got 9 hats on the table, and some of these kids would like pick up a hat, pretend to put it on, and then throw it and pick up the rival's hat. Or there was a kid who went to Florida a few years ago to announce that he was going to Florida, pulled a live alligator out, picked up an alligator. He's like, I'm taking my talents to Gainesville, Florida. It's an alligator. I'm going to be a gator. I think it got to the point that some
probably
of these kids
wouldn't do that with a tiger or something like that. That would probably be a bad idea.
I'd be awesome. Be awesome. Hey, Jonathan, where are you going to play? Whip open a door. Big-ass tiger comes out. Going to LSU, baby!
And if he's a lineman, he like picks up the tiger and holds it by the scruff of his neck.
There's got to be a kid that, you know what, I'm gonna look this up during the break. There's got to have been a kid at some point that got like a tiger cub and brought it out, right? Like, it had to happen. We've had people go to Georgia and they bring out a live bulldog, right? We've had people go to Washington and they brought out a live husky. Point is, I think it got to the point that, and again, speculation, just my opinion, having played this game for a long time, I think it got to the point that the kids started turning it into like WWE promos when they announced. And I think a lot of people kind of got over that real quick, right? Like, it's one thing to go get attention. It's another thing to turn it into this spectacle. Kid, where are you going to play college football? You know, where are you going to play college football? That's what we're here for. And it fell off. And then the portal in the NIL, now that, you know, when a kid signs on to play for your school and he signs that NLI, I think a lot of y'all, fair foul doesn't matter, it's reality. I think a lot of y'all are at a point now where you're like, I'm not investing on this kid emotionally, right? I'll invest in him when he plays and he stays. I'll invest in him when I get to the point that I believe that he is a whatever my school is for life. That's what I believe. I believe when he's walking across the stage at graduation. I believe when Roger Goodell calls his name out on the stage and says, you know, with the third overall pick, so-and-so, so-and-so position from the University of so-and-so. That's what I believe. So I think a lot of that kind of killed the whole thing off as far as National Signing Day. But back in the late 2000, what are they, 2000-aughts? Is that what you call the, like, 2000 to 2009? It's 2000-aught, right? I think it is. 2000-aughts?
Yeah, I'm not doing the aught thing.
I think it's 2000-aughts.
Yeah, I mean, that's
what do you call them then? What's that decade called?
It's too Latin sounding, and that language is dead.
Ipso facto, what do you call it? I see. Did you say 2000, 2009?
2000,
early 2000s?
The early 2000s. Why would you want to change it? I mean, that's
well, technically, it's not changing.
I mean, why would you? So in your hyphenated world, it's bugging you because you want to find a shorter way to say it.
No, because if I say...
And then the other way you're saying it is not really shorter.
It's if I say early 2000s, like right now it makes sense, but like when we get to, you know, when you and I are doing our show in 2099 and we're waiting for the turn of the next century or the next millennia, or no, century. When we get to the turn of the next century and we say early 2000s, like we're in the early 2000s, technically speaking. So I the 20-aughts is, I think, where I'm going to land. In the 20-aughts, when I was down in Destin, we used to do a National Signing Day show. And I would go to, there was a bar called Anglers on the beach on Okaloosa Island. And we would go to Anglers, and they had TVs wrapped around the wall. And the owner would go, and he would hook computers up to these TVs, and he would do the live stream of every school. And I remember, I don't know why I'm telling you this other than I find it amusing, and once something pops into my brain, I have to share it. I'm an oversharer. He popped up one day, like 2011, 12, somewhere in there, which is not the 20-aughts. I recognize that now. He popped up the stream from the University of Alabama, and they literally, Zoe, had a webcam on their fax machine, right? And that they basically, they would just show you the fax machine, and whenever a fax would come in, all the Bama fans would start to get restless. Oh, who's that? Who's that? Who'd we get? Who's that? One year they did it, and they had the fax machine, and every time the fax machine would go off and a piece of paper would slide out into the tray that they received a fax, there would be a co-ed in a houndstooth mini skirt with a white...
What's houndstooth?
It's a pattern Bear Bryant's hat, that black and white kind of like
okay.
Crazy all checkerboard-ish.
All right.
Yeah, houndstooth. They would have a young co-ed from the program in a houndstooth mini skirt, high heel stilettos, and a, let's say, white tank top tucked into it. And she would walk over, Zoe, and she'd go to the fax machine. And the webcam, of course, was behind her. And she'd walk over to the fax machine, and she would do this to get the fax out of the fax machine. And you watched. This was like early webcam days. Like, you had to go to their website to see the webcam. You could hear in the bar every time that a fax would go off, you'd just hear people start going, "Here she comes. Here she comes. Here she comes. Fax is in. Bama's got one. Here she comes." And the whole bar would pay attention to this. And I thought, as sexist and gross as it is, what a hell of a way to get everybody's attention turned to you on National Signing Day and to paying attention to what you're doing and talking about you. It's gross, but I get it.
Why is it gross? She could have said no.
I mean, yeah.
So she's okay with it, and she probably got paid for it. Why is it gross?
No, she would have been a... She would have been, what do you call them? Not interns. Not when they're not interns when they have students that effectively volunteer at the athletic department, and you can usually generate credits out of it that counts towards something.
By the way, which is still getting paid because you're getting compensation in some way. So
okay, fair.
So yeah, she knew what she was doing. She could have said no.
I mean, maybe.
So why is it gross? She's saying, "Hey, look at me," and then some people looked at her.
Hey, you know, throwing the webcam up of a, you know, 17, 18-year-old chick in a tight mini skirt to get your attention, you know, do something worth my attention, I guess.
Did people pay to get into the place where you were broadcasting?
No, they paid to come see me.
Okay. I'm just curious because that's like a paid viewing, if so.
Okay, that's fair. All right, that's fair.
I'm just breaking it down, you know. I mean, a scientific look at what's going on.
Scientific look.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm here for it. All right, we have got a lot to get to on the do any of you care about National Signing Day? Are we still fans? Do we still pay attention? All right, coming up on the radio program today, Lulu Kesson at 8 o'clock to talk South Carolina Gamecocks. We'll check in and see if there is anything cooking in Shano's kitchen. We'll also check in on Dawn Staley and the Lady Gamecocks. Plus, South Carolina loses a heartbreaker on the hardwood on the men's side last night with a number 5 Florida last second walk-off layup. We're going to talk about that. Clemson gets win number 16 over Syracuse, threatening to climb back into the top 25. We'll talk about that. No Rashad Beard today. He's got to push off to tomorrow, unfortunately. A little under the weather. Texted me early this morning, said he's not feeling it, so he'll join us tomorrow. But we still have Hayton S. Mario at 9 o'clock, and it's Thursday. And you know what that means. Fight Club! With the great one, Alonzo, coming up at 9:20, boxing, MMA, pro wrestling, and whatever else we want to get to over the next 4 hours of the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, you get one listener who says one thing hilariously one time, turns into a whole shtick, and that wasn't even planned, the Rod Brown Show rejoin, which is not what he said, but
no,
it's what he said.
I'm pretty sure that's what he said, and how do you know? Again, you say it's not planned, but you don't know that.
I mean, maybe. When did that liner drop?
I will say I had nothing to do with it. I wish I did. Because I would definitely take credit if I did, but it was like a couple weeks ago.
Was it after the Ray Memorial Hotline message?
I think it happened probably like the same day. So I believe it's coincidence, and I believe that he just read it wrong.
Fair enough.
Although if I do recall, I believe our voice guy.
He's a pro.
Is blind. So, if so, that means someone wrote it that way. I'm just saying.
That's fair.
I'm just saying because I don't know in Braille if a D and a B are really close together.
I'm definitely down to subscribe. Listen, I go on all the time about how, like, don't believe in conspiracy theories until there's evidence to believe in the conspiracy theory. Don't just believe in stuff because people say. When they're dumb, harmless ones, I'm down to have some fun. Yes, someone wrote that dude, said to that dude, Rod Brown Show.
There's a couple things that I could point out. Oh, yeah, Alonzo's here, too. I will point that out. I will also...
Well, we know why that one's there. Don't we?
Do we?
Don't we? Do we not?
No, we do.
Yeah.
We do. And also, the written script for Gunther. I'm just saying, there's someone who wrote all three of those things.
That's fair. All right. We do have our text question of the day this morning. Our text poll is this. You know, ordinarily, this is going to be sports. Ordinarily, this is going to be sports related, sports adjacent. It's not this morning. And I'll tell you why. I went earlier this week for my old regular, you know, GP checkup. Just make sure the wheels are staying on, so to speak.
By the way, I don't believe that's a normal thing.
Physical?
I don't think people normally do that. I haven't had one in, I don't know, 25, 30 years, something like that. I'm just saying, I don't think your average listener goes and gets a physical all the time. And it's good that you're doing that.
I get mine once a year.
I mean, that's good, but I don't think your average listener does that.
I get mine once a year. I want the old way. Listen, my mom's not up and listening yet. I can say it now. I come from bad genes, all right? My family's genetics, there's no Olympians in my family, all right? There ain't a single professional athlete in the Rob Brown family tree.
But there will be. There will be. Lou's going to be amazing.
I mean, I hope so. But I've seen him play youth soccer. It's not going great. All right?
It's mean, dude. It's not, he's six.
He also ain't listening, and I'm honest. He's got some work to do. I went to one of his basketball games last time I was home. I looked at my little brother. I'm like, you are failing as a father right now. All right? Say it to his face. Anyway, no professional athletes on the Rob Brown tree. Rob Brown's got to look after himself. He's got to be taking care of himself, all right? I'm going to have enough struggles with all the genetic issues that take place in my family. So I at least want to make sure that the stuff it's the old Mamba mentality, control what you can control. Worry about the input, not the output, right? If you put in good input, most of the output's going to be good. So I'm looking after myself. I'm looking after myself. I'm trying to make sure I'm healthy, you know? Blood pressure's good. Heart rate's good. Shockingly low cholesterol somehow. Like, I'm in good shape, all right? I'm fat. Doc's like, hey, bud. You know, now in fairness, I am like 35 pounds lighter than the last time. He's like, hey, nice job. I'm like, well, you don't know what happened in between, but that's all right. That's all right. I'm like 14 heavier than I was at the wedding, but don't worry about it, all right? So I go in to get my physical, and the doc's like, hey, man, how's the morning schedule going for you? Getting up at 3:30 in the morning. And I was like, I guess that depends on what time of day you ask me. When you ask me at 3:45 in the morning, I hate everyone and everything. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to scrap. You can catch that smoke. When 6 o'clock rolls around, I feel great. I've been up. I've been moving. I'm good. Got my vitamins down. You know, taking my fiber supplement. I'm set. Then around 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I circle back around to, I will beat your face in if you say the wrong words to me right now, right? And he goes, all right, that's good. Why don't you get up maybe 30 minutes earlier? He said, I know it's a big ask getting up that early in the morning, but why don't you get up 30 minutes earlier and like do some stretches, maybe take a walk? Right? Get the blood pumping. Get the muscles working. It's like, I think a lot of the stuff you've got going on right now, you've talked to me about. I think they would be helped if you got the blood pumping earlier in the morning. Right? And he's probably spot on.
Well, he's absolutely spot on. But, you know, how many people actually do that? Especially who work this shift. I mean, it's very difficult to do on their shift.
I will acknowledge that back in the day when I did my first morning show, when I was back in my mid-20s, as I've said on these, I think I've told you this before, I was nocturnal doing the morning shift, right? I was genuinely nocturnal. I would do my show from 6 to 10 a.m. I would go home. I would knock out from like noon. I'd do my post show. I'd run my adulting errands. I'd knock out from like noon to 8 o'clock at night. I'd get up at eight. I'd show prep through the night. I'd go do my show. That was awesome. I was in my mid-20s and dumb. I'd go show prep at like local dive bars. I'd be sitting at a bar with like, you know, a notepad and a laptop doing my show prep. And then I'd go in and do my show 6 till 10, go home and be nocturnal. I can't do that anymore. I got too much going on. I'm married now. I'm almost 40.
So what you're saying was you were drunk at every morning show.
No, I went and listened to music.
Did you? Because, I mean, usually people go there to imbibe. And
I knocked back a brewski or two, but it was like, or two.
Okay.
Right? Like, or two. And this would be at like 10 o'clock at night, and then I got 8 hours till I'm on the air. Right?
I would love to hear some of that show to see if I can tell.
You wouldn't? Because I will tell you this. There was probably two times that I was like, I'm calling in sick. I may have gone one or two past the line. I'm calling in sick. This was also the point in time where I was very young and unestablished in my radio career. I wasn't throwing it away over a Miller Lite, man. Not happening. Still wouldn't today. Not happening. Otherwise, we do bottomless mimosa sports with Rob and Zoe.
Yeah,
all right?
I don't think that would go over. But, I mean, you could try it.
I'm here for it. If any of the salespeople downstairs want to book us a brunch spot, we'll call it Bottomless Sports with Rob Brown.
I'll be designated driver of the show.
Sports done, I mean, bottomless.
As long as I know when to pull the plug.
So, he says get up, get going, or 30 minutes earlier, do some stretching, do some jogging, do some walking, do something, get the old brain going, get the old noodle spinning. And I said, all right, Doc, I'll give that a shot. And so, this morning, I actually did it. I set the alarm for 3:15. It's only about 15 minutes early. At 3:15, I'm like, you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna get up. I'm gonna take a quick walk around the house, maybe around the, you know, I live on a circle. Take a walk around the circle. It's gonna be cold. That'll get the brisk feeling going. I'll get going. Buddy, that alarm went off at 3:15, and I couldn't have punched snooze harder if I was fighting for the heavyweight championship. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. So I went back to sleep, and not only did I go back to sleep, but I went back to sleep and slept for 15 minutes longer than I usually do. Wife rolled over and tells me, she's like, hey, you're supposed to be up 15 minutes ago. I'm like, yeah, I know. All right, I gotta go. So here's my question. Here is the text poll question of the day. And this one is brought to you by sheer curiosity of Robbie and the Great One. Do you have a morning routine? There are three answers I have for you. Because wife has a morning routine, but it ain't physical, right? Her morning routine is like she gets up, she plays our little New York Times word puzzles. We have our little word puzzles that we play every day. Because the couple that wordles together stays together, I believe is how that phrase goes. She gets up, she does her little wordles, her little New York Times word puzzles, and she sits on the couch under a big fuzzy blanket with her first cup of coffee and the doggo, and she hangs out with them for like 15, 20 minutes while her brain warms up. And then she gets up and gets stressed and goes to work and all that, right? She has a routine, but it's relaxing. It's calming. It's the brain fires up while she like, mm-mm. And then there's a lady, and I've told you about this lady before. She drives me up a wall. Doesn't matter if I leave at 3:45 in the morning, 4:15 in the morning, 3:30 in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning. Doesn't matter what time I leave to get here. There is a lady outside every morning who jogs the circle. The circle around my house is a half of a mile exactly. From driveway around the circle to driveway, it's a half a mile. Every day when I leave, doesn't matter how early or how late I leave to come in, this lady's out there and she jogs. And not like Lonzo, not like a power walk. I mean, a jog. She's jogging. And she has to jog for at least 45 minutes because that's the window I leave within, give or take a few minutes every minute. Every morning she's out there. This is her routine. She gets up, I assume around 3 a.m., gets dressed in her fitness clothes, and goes and jogs.
Yeah, I don't understand the need to power up, because I get up Monday through Friday, immediately walk in and turn the air fryer on because it preheats a certain amount of time. I go to the restroom, go back in, put my tater tots in. I know where I am time-wise, depending on how much time is left in the air fryer before I turn it on to the allotted time, which is 16 minutes. In that 16 minutes, I go back in, take my shower, get dressed, come back in, start packing my lunch, get my egg frying, turn the TV on, put in my half of an English muffin with 3 minutes left to go in the tater tots, and usually everything is finished at the same time, and then I'm sitting down eating my breakfast whilst watching something that was on the night before that I didn't get to watch, and then I try to leave at the same time every day.
So the answer is, you absolutely have a regimen.
Oh, for sure.
Absolutely.
For sure, and I don't, there's no groggily thing. I mean, it's as long as my leg works and I can move about the house, then I'm doing the same thing Monday through Friday.
I have and I no
did
routine.
It, I did it in high school. I did the exact same thing in high school. I've done this my entire life. No one taught me to do it. I just started doing it.
I have no routine. Every morning's an adventure for me. There are days I shower at night before I go to bed. There are days I wake up and shower in the morning. There are days that I get dressed and then go get something to drink. There are days I go get something to drink and then I come back and get dressed. Like it's different every day. So here are the three answers because I am nothing more than curious. This has no impact on the show. It is out of rank curiosity. Text question of the day. Do you have a morning routine? And here are your three answers. If you're like me, no, just text no. No routine. It's just chaos every morning. If the answer is yes, but it's like a nice relaxing, if you like the wife, nice relaxing morning. Gotta let the engine rev up a little bit. Text calm. Calm. C-A-L-M, calm. I say that in case the mayor of Philadelphia is listening. And if you have like an active, you're up, you're jogging, you're moving, you get on the treadmill, you hit the bench press, whatever, text active. Do you have a morning routine in the AM? Your three options are no, calm, or active. Text 844-326-3663, 844-326-3663. No, calm, active. Those are the three options on the text poll of the day. When we come back, let's talk some football. Rob Brown, the great Milonzo, you, the Rob Brown Show, the Fan Upstate. You are now, ladies and gentlemen, the College Football Playoff Executive Director. Rich Clark sent me a text last night, and he said, Rob Brown, I'm stepping down. I'm done with this. You people complain too much. You complain about everything. I don't want to hear it anymore. And I said, I understand, Rich. Don't you worry. The Armada will take real good care of the College Football Playoffs. So I'm putting the future of the College Football Playoffs in y'all's very capable hands. And I ask you this question. What changes are we making? What tweaks are we implementing? We found out yesterday from Ross Dellinger that the Southeastern Conference and the Big Ten Conference athletic directors are going to be meeting mid-February to have a discussion to get on the same page before the College Football Playoff Committee meetings take place about a week later in Dallas, Texas. And Dellinger said he does not expect that any changes, at least not major changes, are going to be made to the format for the 2025 college football season. He said he thinks that any major changes, that is an expanded field, a change to the buys, the way the buys are awarded, the amount of or the criteria for earning an automatic qualifier. He said he expects all of those things to be back in 2025. But Rich Clark texted me last night. And he said, yo, I'm out. You guys whine. I don't want to do it anymore. I got paid my millions of dollars. I'm going home. And he put us in charge as a show. What changes are we making? What are the changes that we are making to the College Football Playoff with a one-year sample size of this format? We have had 1 year of the 12-team playoff. We've had one go of it. So with 1 year, one go, what changes are we making? Zoe, I thought about this quite a bit last night because, you know, I'm the host of the show. I want to come in here and I want to have some suggestions, some thoughts. I want to have some, you know, some conversation starters that I want to put on the table and say, how do y'all feel about X, Y, and Z? Because we have now done one experiment. And in the world of science, which you all know I'm a big fan of, in the world of science, now when you've run your experiment, you've collected the data, you've recorded the results, you sit, you look, you analyze them. And the next step is to try to figure out in your experiment any variable that might have impacted the end result of the experiment, right? Anything that could be anything in the world of science. In the world of football, it also could be anything. Are there any variables in the equation after this playoff that you think we should tinker with? And here's the hot take I came up with. Great one. I don't think I want to change anything. I think I want to let the same system run one more time. I think I want to run it back next year the exact same way. And that seems to be, though it is not intended to be from me, that seems to be a bit of a hot take. Because as I scrolled the world of social media yesterday, I saw person after person after person saying, I'd change this, I'd change that, I'd tinker with this, I'd move this, I'd do this, I'd move it up, I'd move it back. I think I want to leave it exactly where it is. Now, there are going to be people who say, I want to change, and this seems to be the big one right now, I want to change the way that the byes are awarded. Why? Because all four teams with a bye took an L, yeah? And I don't think that that's a bad premise. We kind of toyed with this conversation yesterday, though I never really circled back to it. Yes, all four teams with a bye lost. But let's look at those teams. Boise State did nothing wrong. Even I, who wanted Boise State in, 100%, I think the little guys that earn a shot should get a shot. And in my opinion, they earned a shot. Maybe Ashton Janty earned a shot for them, but in my opinion, they earned a shot. I thought they deserved a chance. None of us thought Boise State were winning the Natty, did we? No, I don't think anybody did.
Nor ever in the history of mankind have I ever thought that.
Yeah. Even when Boise State was in the Kellen Moore days, none of us thought they were winning a Natty. But, like, we have 12 slots. Give them a shot. I probably would have been okay with you leaving them out even if they were undefeated in a four-team playoff. Because while I acknowledge they should get a shot, do I think they were one of the best four teams? No, even I, the defender, the little guy, did not think that they were one of the best four teams in America. Best 12? Hell yeah, give them a shot. They were up against Penn State, a Penn State that worked SMU in round one. Georgia coming off the bye. Is that game different if Carson Beck is healthy? I'm going to say maybe. Because Gunnar Stockton, the backup quarterback who came in that Notre Dame-Georgia game, had a very good three quarters of a game. But in the fourth, when the Irish tightened it up, and when all of the sudden it was a ball game, Gunnar Stockton looked like a guy who was kind of fading a little bit. He kind of, like I said, the accuracy fell off just a little bit. I think the pressure got to him in that situation. If Carson Beck plays that game, that's a quarterback for whomst the pressure ain't gonna got him. I think Georgia may win that game. So I'm not gonna write that off as, oh, the bye is bad. No. Not having your QB1 is bad. That may come as a newsflash to some of you, but you listen to this show, so I doubt it. Then I go look at Oregon. Oregon caught the bye. Oregon was the number one team in America, the consensus number one. They caught Ohio State in round two. And Ohio State that dropped 42 on Tennessee, arguably the best defensive front seven in the tournament, or at least competing for it, Tennessee. They dropped 42 on their head, held them to 17. Oregon was the single most unlucky team in the college football playoffs. Earned the consensus number one, and their reward is playing a team that became a wagon in these playoffs in the Ohio State Buckeyes. Who, by the way, and I don't know if you know this, so They won the national championship this year, if you hadn't heard.
I was aware of it. I read it somewhere.
Okay. I didn't know if the news had circled around a gray court yet or not.
You know, it's one of those, you see a headline and go, oh, okay, and you just keep moving.
Yeah.
It's one of those. Yeah.
I get it. And then Arizona State, one of the top four conference winners, got themselves a bye, went up against Texas. A Texas team that was only the 5 seed, the highest ranked non-bye team, because Georgia barely clipped them in the SEC title game. With their starting quarterback, I shall mention in that game, right? Till the very end. So I'm not particularly worried about the bye. And I do think, do you agree with this, Great One? It will happen again if we leave the format intact. Rare is the day we are going to have a Mountain West Conference champion earn a bye. Get in as the 5th conference, and I think that was the design from the beginning, right? Five highest-ranked conference champions, top four of those get a bye, or top four rated champs get a bye. It was always designed to get the Power Four and then leave one at-large open for somebody out there, right? A Mountain West. When there is a Boise State that pops up and has an Ashton Janty come play for him, there's a spot for him. I think rare is the day that you're going to see a Mountain West team claim one of the 4 byes. I don't think it's going to happen that often. I think it will happen. Every now and then, you're going to have somebody pop up. But it's also been kind of going to become less and less frequent as a lot of other programs are going to be absorbed into the ACC and the Big 12 down the line, right? The SEC and the Big 10 are going to have whoever they want down the stretch. As the specifically the ACC, when their grant of rights runs up in, what is it, 10 years? When that happens, unless Florida State and Clemson win these lawsuits that, by the way, are still going on, and they find a way to dissolve the ACC, the SEC and the Big Ten are going to pick and choose from that a la carte menu of football programs who they want to add to their big conferences. And then the Big 12, who I think at this point we are all relatively sure is going to be the EEC, as we call it on the show, the everybody else conference, they will pick up the rest and everybody else gets left behind. The goal of the 5 conference champs, 4 top ranked getting a bye, was very simple. The Power Four conference champions, and then a Mountain West champ who gets in but doesn't get a bye. Happened out this year. I don't think that's going to be the case. And what I don't want to do is overcorrect in one direction because one of the random situations happened to take place in year number 1. Now, if we have 5-6 years in a row where a Power Four champ is playing in the opening round and a Mountain West conference champ is playing in a bye, then maybe we think about tinkering. Maybe we think about tinkering and we say, hey, look, at the end of the day, we got to start right. And this is the concept that comes from taking the byes away from conference champions and just awarding them to the top 4 teams when it's all said and done. That obviously is going to reward the Big Ten and the Southeastern Conference. But as we talked about yesterday on the show, it's going to do something else too. What value still remains in conference championship games, at that point, will be destroyed. It'll be destroyed. If they move to the model that has been proposed of expanding to 14 teams, and again, I think all of this is a waste of time because I think 16 teams is the inevitability when it's all said and done, but that may be a little further off in the distance than we thought. If they expand to the 12 teams, and part of that plan is 4 AQs for the SEC, 4 AQs for the Big Ten. The SEC and Big Ten championship games mean nothing unless you say the winner catches an auto bye, in which case, maybe. But again, I would look at it and go, not only did the bye not help the Oregon Ducks this year, I firmly believe, Great One, if you would have flipped Penn State and Oregon, Oregon would have played Ohio State in the national championship. That's where the rematch would have come. Probably same result, but you would have seen that as your natty instead of Oregon State or Ohio State, Notre Dame.
See, you're probably right, but it's hard for me to. The sample size is so small, and I know we need to look at it as it is because that's all we have. But if it stays the same in 4 years, we're going to know if if the buy really is the norm, that if you had to buy, you're going to lose. It's hard for me to judge this whole thing because I have to put aside my fandom, and my team won the national championship. So, I mean, there's that. So, to me, everything was perfect.
Everything's great. Run it back every year.
Except for the loss to Michigan. But, you know,
everything can't win them all.
Well, you can, but they didn't. So, but they won the ones that mattered the most.
I think we have had a successful college football playoff debut of the 12-team model. I don't think we change it after year one, and apparently that's the hot take. I don't think we change it. I'm not worried about the buys.
Although, I mean, you could throw a conspiracy out there. You know, that first 14 playoff, Ohio State wasn't supposed to be in there. They got in there. It was controversial. They got in there. They won the whole thing. You know, and this 12, yeah, they were supposed to be in there because there's 12, but, you know, they win the whole thing. So the next time Ohio State wins the championship will probably be when they go to 16 teams because that's, you know.
I think the other aspect of this that has to be talked about is, and the reason we are, you know, if we have to settle on a number is, as we pointed out, if it was a 14 playoff this year, Ohio State is not your national champions, despite the fact that they were clearly and without question the best team in this 12-team field. Without question, they were the best team in the 12th. From start to finish, best team in the field. They would not have been in the field if it was a 14 model.
It's the same thing with the tournament in March. I mean, there are teams that are not supposed to do anything, and they work their way in and have a successful run. So
yeah, but like with it being 64 teams, has there been, and I don't expect an answer off the top of your head, but like lifetime, has there been a Cinderella national champion in basketball?
I don't think so. But as far as that goes, would you consider Ohio State Cinderella?
No. Let me be very clearly.
Yeah.
The Blue Bloods will shine. You'll lose a couple. You'll have a Virginia get dropped by a Furman every now and then, which was awesome, by the way. But like the more likely it is that a genuinely championship caliber team is going to win. The point is, have we stayed at four? Like all y'all said, ooh, it's great at four. Ohio State would not have played this year.
There'd be some people pleased with that if that had happened.
Sure.
Yeah.
But none of them with acting with any level of football integrity.
Yes, I was going to say them haters.
The haters, man. You know what everybody hates? Nope, that's not what I wanted to say. You know what everybody loves? Less of a segue. Sports Flash. I'm fighting for my life over here.
See,
I really am. I'm fighting for it.
I would have preferred, and here he is, the hated. I'm okay with that. The Clemson Tiger basketball team have run off four consecutive wins with a 86-72 win over Syracuse last night. Chase Hunter had 23 points and added three steals, and Victor Locken recorded a double-double with 16 points and 10 boards. Clemson recorded more rebounds, assists, and steals than the Orange in their 16th win of the year. The Gamecocks men's basketball team dropped a heartbreaker last night at home to number 5 Florida, 70-69. The Gators trailed by a point with less than 4 seconds, but Will Richard Rickard Reichard, I don't know, scored his 22nd point on a layup right off the glass that dropped to steal the win. Zachary Davis had 22 points and Colin Murray Bowles had 14, but a 9-for-26 night from deep did the Gamecocks in. Tune in to Saturday at 4 p.m. It's Furman Paladins take on the Mercer Bears right here on The Fan.